And yeah, and just watching, you know, the trumpets at work, and especially when the piano was brought on, and getting that amount of applause.
Great, great. Well, I hope you do. I hope you achieve it one day.
So I'm no longer a proms virgin. Feels good. I think I'll be back.
Cheers.
Nice.
That was quite an amazing experience, really. I think I'm going to go for a drink, and then I'm going to go home to Brixton. Can we stop now? I'm sick of the sound of my own voice.
My First Prom was produced by Debbie Kilbride. And, Russell, if you're listening to us now, you may like to know that that concert by the Russian National Orchestra and Andrei Boreko gets another airing here on Radio 3 on Wednesday afternoon from 2:20 onwards. Well, we'll be going back to the Royal Albert Hall to rejoin Basil Brush and Louise Fryer for this morning's concert in a couple of minutes. In the meantime, here's some Russian piano music. Three pieces here from Tchaikovsky's Album for the Young. And if you're a ballet lover, you may well recognise the first of them. Three pieces from Tchaikovsky's Album for the Young. First was a Neapolitan dance tune, which, as I said, you may have recognised from Swan Lake, then a nursery tale, and that last short piece was called The Witch. Well, there's more witchcraft at the proms tomorrow night when you can hear Humperdinck's opera Hansel and Gretel at 7 o'clock. But I wonder what's been happening over at the Royal Albert Hall this morning. Let's return now to Louise Fryer and the conductor Nicholas Collin and see if Basil Brush has finished his ice cream yet.
Oh, this is lovely ice cream. This is... Just got to finish it off and go right down to the bottom and... Oops. I think I have a problem. That's better. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the second half of our show. I tell you... Oh, look. Look, the stage is full of musicians. Where did they all come from? I think we Fox fans need an explanation. Louise, all-knowing Louise. Come here, Louise.
Basil, it's fine. They're supposed to be here.
Yes?
The Aurora Orchestra have been joined by members of the National Chamber Choir for Children and the National Youth Chamber Choir to make a huge, big orchestra that's going to make a great, big, fantastic sound. So let's welcome back our conductor, Nicholas Cullen.
Maestro Nick, would you like me to help you conduct? You see, I think my tail and my brush would be perfect to keep all this orchestra in time.
Well, that's very kind of you, Basil, but I think we probably should be all right. But you better watch out, because this next piece is about a very angry bee, and he might just be looking to sting someone.
It's by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov.
Hang on a minute, Louise. I've got a little bee in my bonnet about this one. Or should I say, I've got a bee in my brush. And this bee in my brush is putting me off because he's humming.
A bee in your brush who's humming? Why?
Well, everybody knows that bees hum because they don't know the words. Boom, boom. Hey, Louise, what? You keep setting them up and I'll keep knocking them down. All right, Lexi.
Very funny, Basil. This is a piece with lots of humming and buzzing. It's The Flight of the Bumblebee by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. Now, let's see if I can get the performers right this time. They are the Aurora Orchestra, the National Children's Chamber Orchestra, and the National Youth Chamber Orchestra, and they were performing The Flight of the Bumblebee by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov.
That's easy for you to say, Louise, but I have to say, that bumblebee sounded very angry.
Well, almost as angry as one of the families in our next piece of music, the Capulets.
Really? This is far too nice a concert to have all these angry people around.
Well, the Capulets were only angry because they had some uninvited guests at the ball that they were holding. The rival family in town, the Montagues, had decided to gatecrash their ball.
Oh.
This next piece is named after both families, the Montagues and the Capulets, and it's taken from Prokofiev's ballet score to Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare! I know all about Shakespeare. I had rave reviews for my bottom in A Midsummer Night's Dream, and I also know everything about Romeo and Juliet because I played the part famously at school years ago. You'll like this.
Basil, that's Juliet's line.
Yeah, I know. She forgot to turn up, so I had to do them both.
Well, we're going to hear the Montagues and the Capulets from Prokofiev's ballet music Romeo and Juliet. It takes place at a ball, and it's the ball where Romeo and Juliet first meet. So we thought we'd have some dancers too. B-Boy's Attic. Basil?
Well, I just wanted to join in with the dancers. I've just got my own little mask to join in.
Well, the dancers were fantastic. Yeah. And our masked performers were Nia Davis and Alan Riley from Metamorpho. And that piece of music was by Eric Sati, his Gymnopédie number one. Shall I take your mask off now?
Go on then, yeah. Thank you very much, Lee.
You're welcome.
And I'll take yours off too. Oh, I tell you what, Mr. Nick, I'm loving this big orchestra. So, what's next?
Well, next is a piece by Dmitri Shostakovich.
Dmitri shot a what itch?
Oh, Shostakovich.
Dmitri's got a bottom itch.
No.
Dmitri's got a bottom itch, kids.
Nearly. Dmitri Shostakovich.
Right.
And like Prokofiev, he's a Russian composer and he was born just over 100 years ago.
We're going to hear a really dramatic piece. It's like a musical whirlwind of non-stop notes. It's the second movement, Allegro, of the Symphony No. 10 by Shostakovich.
We'll be right back.
That was the thrilling second movement, the Allegro, from the Symphony No. 10 by Dmitri Shostakovich.
Louise?
Yes?
Can I do the next serious bit? Is that all right?
It's fine, be my guest.
See if I can get a permanent position on Radio 3.
It was conducted by the Foxbat conductor, Maestro Nick, and played by all those musicians on the stage who really are...
booming marvellous! Well done!
Thank you very much, Basil, but we're not quite finished yet. There's one little challenge for you still to do.
A challenge? That sounds like a bit of a test. Now, I've sat all my SAT tests at school. I don't think I want any more exams. I'm not sure I can do another test.
I think it's quite an enjoyable test. This next piece has little bits of music from every piece that we've played so far in the concert. So I want you all to listen really carefully, see if you can spot them. And you may also be able to see the dancers that we've seen earlier in the concert as well.
Oh, does it mean I get to go boom, boom again?
No, Basil, thanks very much.
Oh, can I get to beep, beep?
Well, if you must, yeah, you can beep, beep. Okay.
And can I do a bit of dancing as well?
I think you can definitely dance, Basil.
Great.
So here are the Aurora Orchestra, the National Children's Chamber Orchestra, and the National Youth Chamber Orchestra, and our dancers too, in Mashup by Chris Willis.
Thank you.
That was Mashup by Chris Willis, with just a little bit of Gabrielli, Lully, Adams, Bach, Brahms, Rimsky-Korsakov, Prokofiev, Sati, and Shostakovich. And Chris Willis is here, so let's give him a big round of applause.
Woo. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic music, also some fantastic dancing, and the orchestra were fantastic too, weren't they, Basil?
Oh, they were. I think we ought to ask them all to take a bow. Can I start everybody off, Louise?
You can.
All right, boys and girls, let's hear it for the fantastic National Children's Chamber Orchestra and the National Youth Chamber Orchestra.
Say a big thank you to the Aurora Orchestra and their leader, Ruth Rogers.
And also, boys and girls, I want you to scream, shout, stamp your feet, go crazy, throw your grandmothers in the air, and give a big special thank you to the Larry and Harry Maestro Nick!
Thank you, Basil.
There you go.
But we're still not quite finished yet. We've got one more special piece to play, and this is an overture.
Hang on a minute, Mush. I know something about classical music, you know, because at 2, I wrote a concerto. At 3, I wrote a symphony. At 4:30, I went downstairs and made a cup of tea. So I know that an overture normally starts a concert.
Well, now, this
I
is
have
a fantastic
been asking myself,
way.
Hang on a minute, I have been asking myself why there wasn't one today. I've got the script. Listen, we did start with only 8 musicians, and I'm not going to be surprised that you're wanting to end our concert with an overture.
Thank you, Basil. This is a fantastic way to finish a concert, because it's a piece by Leonard Bernstein, who used to conduct family concerts like this all over the world.
And I'm sure Leonard Bernstein would have loved to hear his piece at the end of our concert today. So to round off this bank holiday children's prom, this is Bernstein's overture, Candide.
Thank you.
That was Leonard Bernstein's overture, Candide. Sadly, it brings us to the end of our BBC Children's Prom. I hope you've enjoyed it. I've had a great time. What about you, Basil?
I've had an absolutely fantastic morning. I've boom-boomed, I've beat-beat, and I've bop-bopped. But I have to say, I'd like to thank you all out there for being the best Monday morning audience we've had all week. And I'd just like to say, on behalf of the BBC Proms, everyone here on stage, goodbye and... Boom, 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 Royal Albert Hall!
And boom, boom, back to Basil Brushen fans. After all that music, dancing and ice cream, Basil's returning to his foxhole, having had what sounds like a very exciting time. Louise Fryer was presenting with him on stage, and Nicholas Collin conducted the Aurora Orchestra and members of the National Children's Orchestra and the National Youth Chamber Orchestra. Well, we'll be back at the Royal Albert Hall later today when the BBC Concert Orchestra takes to the stage at 7 o'clock, joined by its new principal conductor, Keith Lockhart. He's making his proms debut, and the programme brings American pizzazz to the Royal Albert Hall, along with classic pieces associated with the Boston Pops, which Keith Lockhart also conducts. Music including William Walton's Spitfire Prelude and Fugue, more from Leonard Bernstein, the symphonic dancers from West Side Story, and music too by Gershwin, John Williams, and much, much more. That's this evening, our second live prom of the day, starting at 7 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3. Well, the time is coming up to 23 minutes to one, and we've a soupçon of French music for the next 20 minutes or so. This is Jean Francais's first wind quintet, played by the Galliard Ensemble.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Wind Quintet No. 1 by Jean Francais, written in 1948 and full of bubbling high spirits. As Francais once said, why be sad when you live in Paris? And why indeed? Well, that performance was by the Galliard Ensemble, the flautist Catherine Thomas, the oboist Owen Dennis, clarinetist Catherine Spencer, horn player Richard Bayliss and bassoonist Helen Simons. Well, the Galliard Ensemble are graduates of Radio 3's New Generation Artist Scheme, and I'll just briefly mention that we'll be hearing from a couple more former members during this week in our continuing coverage of the 2010 Edinburgh International Festival. We've four more lunchtime concerts from Tuesday to Friday, and the recitals include performances by the mezzo-soprano Christiana Stottein, that's tomorrow, and the Pavel Haas Quartet on Thursday. And you can hear those concerts starting at 1 o'clock. Well, in a couple of minutes, after the lunchtime news, we go live to Cadogan Hall in London for Proms Chamber Music. The pianist Lars Vogt appeared with the Czech Philharmonic Orchestra yesterday in the evening prom, and today he continues the Czech connection with music by Janáček, along with Schubert, his piano sonata in G, Deutsch 894. First, though, a look ahead to Sundays with Fiona Talkington.
The best thing about presenting Radio 3 requests is going through the post and the emails and seeing what new requests have come in. Listeners have a wonderful way of finding some really unusual pieces to suggest, and I think some of them really enjoy giving us a challenge finding them. I love knowing why they want a particular piece too. Sometimes it's hearing a piece they haven't heard for years. Sometimes it's a special piece to mark an occasion, a birthday or an anniversary. And sometimes they've been inspired by going to a concert and hearing a live performance. To hear your request, do get in touch. Our email address is radio3requests@bbc.co.uk, or you can write to us, BBC Wales, Cardiff, CF52YQ. Radio 3 Requests, Sunday afternoons at 2, here on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock and time now for the latest BBC news from John Shea.
Pakistan is sending a special team from its Federal Investigation Agency to London to look into allegations of a betting scam involving members of the country's cricket team. A 35-year-old sports agent at the centre of claims that no balls were deliberately bowled against England last week has been released on police bail. Detectives have interviewed four Pakistan players and confiscated three mobile phones. There are growing calls for Pakistan's tour of England to be suspended. Six people have been killed and at least another 13 wounded in Slovakia by a gunman who opened fire on a suburban street in the capital Bratislava. The gunman has not yet been identified, and there's no indication of what may have motivated the attack. A 10-year-old girl is in hospital needing plastic surgery after being mauled by three dogs, two of them Rottweilers, in Dundee. The animals attacked her as she was riding her bike, biting her arms and legs and fracturing her jaw. Police say the dogs will be put down today and their owners may be charged. The team behind the Labour leadership candidate Ed Miliband has hit back at criticism from Lord Mandelson, who said the shadow energy secretary would take the party into what he called an electoral cul-de-sac. Mr Miliband's spokesman said party members and the public would not be convinced by what he called the same old messages from the new Labour attack machine. The United States has condemned as inflammatory remarks by a senior Israeli rabbi who called for Palestinians and their leader Mahmoud Abbas to be struck by a plague. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, who's the spiritual leader of the right-wing Shas party in Israel's governing coalition, made the comments just days before Middle East talks are due to begin in Washington. China and Russia have agreed to set up their first cross-border protection zone for Siberian tigers, the largest living cats in the world. About 500 are known to be left in the wild, only 20 of them in China. And the weather. There'll be more sunshine this afternoon in many places, but cloud in the east will spread west. Showers and strong winds in eastern and southeastern counties will gradually ease. The news and weather on BBC Radio 3 at 1:02. So now it's time for Proms Chamber Music, live from Cadogan Hall in London. It's presented by Catherine Bott.
Welcome to Cadogan Hall for our penultimate Proms Chamber Music recital. Today's performer is the German pianist Lars Vogt, who first came to international attention in 1990 when he was a prize winner at the Leeds International Piano Competition, and I'm sure he'll have captured every listener's imagination last night with his performance of Grieg's Piano Concerto with the Czech Philharmonic over in the Royal Albert Hall. But we've got him here at Cadogan today. And he's going to play music by Schubert, his late sonata in G major, Deutsch number 894, and to begin, Janáček at his most intimate and reflective. In the Mists is one of his last compositions for solo piano, written in 1912, when the composer was feeling isolated, slighted by the public, and in despair of ever seeing his opera Jenufa staged in Prague. Janáček's biographer has suggested that the mists of the title reflect the composer's low spirits rather than actual meteorological conditions. Many of his chamber works have a direct or indirect autobiographical element after all. The work also reflects his lifelong interest in traditional music. Janáček particularly relished the rhythmic asymmetry of Moravian folk music, and he incorporated some of this irregularity into the third movement. Lars Vogt himself has written that stark contrasts dominate the work in spite of its title that suggests more misty colours. Intentionally, the pieces lack warmth almost entirely. Now, to begin his recital with Janáček's In the Mists, we welcome to the platform Lars Vogt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lars Vogt played Janáček's late work In the Mists, and I'm delighted to say he's joined me now, microphone in hand, to talk about today's programme. Lars, these are two late works by composers, both of whom must have felt themselves often to be unloved and unsung. It's very hard to escape the biographical element, but surely, as a pianist, you've programmed these late works by Janáček and Schubert. What do they have in common to play?
I do think they have something in common, which is that the soul is under attack, if you will. That there are these peaceful moments, especially in the Schubert that's going to come now. There are long stretches that seem really peaceful, and yet you're never quite safe, and it's never quite true somehow. And then there are incredible outbursts, like we've just heard in the Janáček, which I think are really full of blood and full of anger and, just a soul really under attack, in danger.
And in the late sonatas of Schubert, they're often mistaken for serenity. The moods of a sort of sunny character. But there's a real weariness, isn't there? World weariness as a subtext to some of these works.
It's always ambiguous, and that's the incredible thing that you... In Schubert, it's really delicate to find the line of interpretation, because if you interpret them as completely depressed pieces, that's also not where it leads. It also has these little bits of... Is it hope? Is it a dream of what it could be like? Or is it actually a memory of something actually nice? Or is it just seeing life from far away and not being part of it? So it always has the two sides at the same time in it. That's why I think interpreting Schubert in a way is just as hard as Mozart. He also has this sort of ambiguity all the time.
Well, there is something you can help us with. Schubert's publisher originally issued this sonata we're going to hear under sort of four discrete titles, really, of the four movements, as if they were four separate pieces: Fantasy, Andante, Menuetto, and Allegretto. And I hope it would have pleased Schubert that a little bit after his life, Schumann declared it, this sonata, to be the most perfect of all of Schubert's piano sonatas. And he referred to the title of the first movement and offered us a bit of a threat, really. He wrote, "Let anyone who lacks the fantasy to solve the riddles of the last movement keep away." What did he mean by that?
I find that just one of these wonderful quotes of Schumann, where in sort of one sentence he hits it on the nail, you know, where what the difficulty is. The last movement, when you sort of look at it, it seems that it's just quite joyful dancing. But when you look at the tempo marking, which is Allegretto, it's not very fast. And the dynamics, which are pretty throughout the movement, pianissimo. And then sometimes these incredibly painful outbursts in forte and fortissimo. And that sort of speaks against a sunny and lovely afternoon. So I think there is a constant riddle really in that piece, and it's wonderful that Schumann calls it a riddle. He also doesn't say it's joyful or it's sad or it's just not quite clear. But I think we cannot quite trust the piece, and we don't know whether this sort of piece in this whole sonata is a bit pathological, of sort of the last moment before somebody being depressed attempt suicide, or whether it's really an outlook into what could have been or what should be.
Well, Schumann didn't offer to solve the riddle, and maybe we won't either, but I'm looking forward very much to hearing you play that, all the four movements. Thank you very much, Lars. By the time Schubert wrote his last sonatas, between 1826 and 1828, the form's popularity was a little bit in decline. So it was actually a rather canny move on the part of his publisher to imply that the work we'll hear now might be four individual pieces, because his public was really showing more of a desire for character lollipops. Of all Schubert's piano sonatas, This is one of only three to have been published during his lifetime. So now Lars Vogt plays Schubert's Sonata in G major, Deutsch number 894.